To add to Oscar's welcome, if you're visiting with us, thank you so much. Whether you're here in person or watching on Facebook or YouTube or on the radio, thank you for being part of our worship experience this morning. And hopefully you've grown closer to Jesus in the midst of that. There are two opportunities for you to serve this week, so I want to give them to you in 30 seconds or less. First, 4:30 next Sunday is Trunk or Treat. So if you are already involved in that, we will see you before 4:30. The kids will all show up at 4:30, but we need all kinds of help, from passing out candy to flipping hot dog. You flip a hot dog? Turning hot dogs. Whatever we need some volunteers that will help with that. So if you're looking for a way to serve, Sunday night at 4:30. Second thing is we're doing coats for Kayenta, and Josh will be here in about a week and a half. And so if you would like to donate coats and other winter wear, the foyer has got some boxes right there. We live in the perfect place where you wear a jacket three times a year, so you don't need 12 of them. Just keep one, and we'll give to those who need it far more than we do. Okay, Oscar started our story, and so I want to, as our introduction, just continue reading this story. So Oscar told us the basic part of the parable. We're going to pick it up from Mark's version, but we'll start in verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And Jesus said to them, "To you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while, and then tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, and immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Okay, my guess is you've heard that parable before. It's one of the parables that appears in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. And you've probably heard it in a Bible class. You may have even heard it from me in a sermon once or twice. But it's an important parable about the kingdom of God. So before we start on the ears that need to hear, let's at least take a little bit of a look at what this phrase kingdom of God might mean. So when Jesus uses this phrase, he's using it from the angle of the church that is on its way. And so the first thing he's going to say about this kingdom is that it comes through a word and not a sword. If we were to go back into the idea of most of the Jews, they would think that the coming of the kingdom of God was going to be the coming of a kingdom with a sword, that it was going to come back like the days of David. And they could all read their Old Testaments, and they would know the stories of David, and they would know the power of Israel at that point. And David led this mighty kingdom with a sword. But Jesus is going to say it's going to come with a word. And that's significant. See, the kingdom that is the church, that Jesus is looking forward to, and that we are in the midst of, is ushered in by proclaiming the truth of God. That's exactly what we do. We proclaim the truth of God. And if we're going to be a church that believes in the Word of God, then we're going to proclaim that Word of God, and we're going to realize that planting this Word that one of those four guys is going to say, that is this seed that is thrown everywhere. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 reads like this, "And the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God." Okay, it's significant that Jesus is going to go out of his way to say, here's what this represents. Now, most of us have planted seed, I'm guessing. Maybe we've done it in our yard or in a garden, or maybe we've done it for some flowers that are going on around our house. But we've realized that it's that seed that is life-giving power. Okay, so I'm going to make fun of Lindsay for a second. Lindsay has 3 petunias, I believe is what she told me. I don't know the difference between a petunia, a daisy, and a rose. But she's got three petunias growing on her desk, and she's got this bright light that is shining upon them. And every morning when I go in to talk about the day with her, I look in, and there's nothing happening yet. And she keeps telling me something's going to grow out of that because the seed has life-giving power. Okay, my friends, we need to realize that the Word of God has life-giving power. And not only does it have life-giving power to us, it's got life-giving power to all of those we will expose it to. Just notice these two verses. James writes this. He says, of his own will, sorry, I'm having trouble reading this morning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Peter would write this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God. Okay, I think what Luke is trying to say and Mark is trying to say in retelling the story of Jesus and what James and Peter are saying are very similar, is that here is this word that is planted and it is explosive and it has life-giving power to all of those who will accept it. And we've got that freedom to accept it, and we've got that privilege to throw it out. And I don't mean throw it out as in throw it away. So when you lived in Palestine, here is how the farmers would farm. They didn't have all the combines and everything that you've got now. You would have your guy that would basically walk up and down a row, and he would have a big giant satchel around him, and he would take that seed, and he would just fling it as he went. And I imagine he was pretty good at flinging it everywhere, because that's the point of Jesus. And so the second thing about this kingdom is it comes to those who have good hearing. Okay, so if the seed is the word of God, and it's this word that's coming from him, then we've got to be able to not only hear it, but then do what it says. And so this hearing is important. The first thing you need to do to enter the kingdom of God is you've got to listen. Whether it's us listening to the word of God, or whether it's those we are reaching out to, those who we are tossing the seed to, and understanding the kingdom is not just a matter of intellect. It's a matter of will. See, I know a whole lot of people who would look at the Bible and say, it's got a lot of truth in it. And in fact, most people would say it's got a lot. I would say it's got all truth in it. But they would look at it and say, it's one thing to have truth in it. It's another thing for me to live it and practice it. And hearing means more than just having this intellectual view. It means my heart has been stirred. That in the reading of it, in the study of it, and the acceptance of it, it has moved me from just seeing the seed to letting it have explosive power in my life. John writes this in John chapter 7. So Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, then he will know whether what I am teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. So what Jesus is doing there in the midst of John 7 is he's saying, here is what has come from God, and it's what's flowing out of my mouth. And that ought to be the same for his people. And it's one thing for it to flow out of our mouths as we talk it to those around us, but we've got to realize that we've got to hear it first. And we've got to have ears that listen as we spread the seed. See, the problem is not the sower in this story. And it's not the seed. The problem in this story is the soil. So let's talk about some ears that hear. See, Jesus knew that people listened to the gospel with different kind of ears. The first group that he talks about are closed ears. My guess is you've had moments when you had children or maybe a spouse. And my guess is if it was a spouse, it was probably a husband that just had closed ears. And they had no desire to hear what you had to say. Even if what you had to say was exactly right, it was like talking to a brick wall. These hearts are hard. And in this case, they would rather have sin over a sovereign. And my guess is if we're going to be sowers of seed, we're going to run into people like this. We're going to run into people that Hebrews describes like this. Take care, brothers, Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you with an unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So the writer of Hebrews is kind of looking at maybe these kind of ears that don't want to hear what God has to say and don't want to apply what God has called them to apply, and they would rather have sin over a sovereign. And that's that dry, hard ground. But then there are cautious ears. There's seed that falls in the rocky soil. Now, we get rocky soil here because we've kind of got some clay in our soil. Palestine had limestone. And at least clay, you can kind of break up a little bit. Limestone, you can't. And so the listeners there, as Jesus is telling the story, would get his point that there would be these big chunks of limestone that you would be plowing your field with the oxen or the cow or whatever it was that you were using, and they would bring up these giant chunks of rock, and you couldn't do much about it. And so Jesus is saying some of it is like this, where it's easy to start, but it's hard to stay. One of the things I think we need to remember when we're wrestling with those who start a journey with Jesus and then give up is that it's not easy. To do what Jesus says and to commit to what Jesus asks for and to be willing to give up all that Jesus wants us to give up, that is not an easy task. It's not an easy task for some of us. And so there are some that have these cautious ears that will hear what we have to say and hear the word and let that kind of soak in for a little bit, and it looks attractive, but yet stuff starts to get in the way. And when stuff starts to get in the way, hard times come and faith wanes. See, that's the difference between feelings and convictions. I see a lot of people that say, I got these great feelings towards somebody, but I want conviction. I mean, I don't want just feelings toward God. I don't want just feelings toward my wife. I want conviction that says, this is what I want, and this is right, and this is the very best thing for me. And these cautious ears just have feelings. Now, maybe there's some rock removal that we can do, but for the point of Jesus, he's saying, here's their situation. And then there are crowded ears. So the seed that falls among the thorns. In the world of Palestine, again, you not only had the limestone that was underneath it, but you had natural weeds, just like you have in your yard. Some people have just too much noise. There's too much going on, and maybe some of us have too much going on, and we look like thorny soil as well, but there's too much noise going on in our world, too many things going on to be able to hear what the Lord has to say to us. And then you get this last little set that's the committed ears. Some people are just hungry for God. Okay, one of my favorite people to walk into the office is someone who is hungry for God. Someone who's wrestling, yes, that's okay. Someone who's searching, that's even better. Someone who is saying, I know there's a God out there, and I'm trying to figure out what he wants for my life and how he wants me to live. And this person that enters that office, I cannot wait to sit down and talk, to have a cup of coffee and say, how can we do this better, and how can you encourage me, and how can I encourage you? Because they're tired of running their lives and seeing that it's not getting them anywhere, and they figured out they need God to run their life. See, the same is true for us. What's interesting is when the seed lands in that soil, Jesus says, watch out. Okay, remember we said earlier that the seed has this explosive power, and when he gets to the end of the parable, he says the seed that lands in the best soil, it explodes 30, 60, 100-fold, because that's the power of it. But I find this parable haunting on two levels. The first is some of us need to get our hearing checked, because we've got cautious ears or crowded ears. I'm at a certain age where I don't hear as well as I used to, and if we're in a restaurant and there's lots of noise going on, I've got to really focus on whoever's talking, because I just hear whatever's loudest. And so if there's a loud guy behind me, all I hear is him, and Nikki will say something, or Fran will say something, or the worst is Jonah, because he talks in such a low voice I can't hear him anyway, that I've really got to focus because my ears aren't as good as they used to be. And I probably need to get them checked. Maybe we need to do that in a spiritual sense. Maybe there needs to be some time of reflection and some moments where we look in the spiritual mirror and say, do I have ears that hear? Or are my ears cautious? Or are they crowded? And are they committed like they should be? So the first thing is it's a little bit of an indictment. The second is, though, different. Because I believe it's a level of encouragement. Because it tells me that if I will just listen, God can do amazing things. Whether it's in my own life, or in the life of our church, or in the life of those around us, it speaks a word of hope. Because the sower goes out to sow. And as the sower goes out to sow, he throws the seed, and some of the seed is just eaten by the birds. And some of the seeds get stuck in the rocks, and some of the seed gets stuck in the weeds, but some of the seed is going to land right where it needs to go the most, and it's going to explode. The last year, I've been asked a bunch, maybe more than ever before, what's the church going to be like when you're gone? So I figure, let's assume I'm going to live to be 90. My diet would say 80. That's 30 years from now. If we got ears that are willing to listen, we're going to be just fine. And it may not look like us, and it may not be just like this, but I believe with all of my heart that God is going to say, my kingdom is here and it will last. And he'll say in another place, even the rocks will cry out. Because the word has explosive power. So what do? I mean, whether it's in our own lives of looking in the spiritual mirror, or whether it's in the throwing of the seed as we walk up and down our streets and our workplace, what do? So I think four things, just super quick. First, we plant. We throw it everywhere. I hope as you live your life, everywhere you go, you live like you are a child of Jesus. That you live in a way that says, here is who I belong to, and it's not a bumper sticker, and it's not a sign in your yard, and it's not a shirt that you wear, it's a life that you live. Now, are all those other things great? Sure. But how do you live when you're at the restaurant, and how do you treat the people that you come in contact with, and how do you deal with your neighbors, and how do you handle the dog that's always barking in the middle of the night, and how do you handle the coworker that's a little bit lazy, and how do you handle the boss that's too demanding, and how do you handle... We sow the seed everywhere we go because we want to give it a chance. Okay, our yard has struggled ever since we bought our house. And so it was the year before last, early in the spring, I just had a whole bunch of seed in my hands and I was going over to the bare spots. And more than anything, I just wanted our yard to look pretty. And so I'm throwing the seed in all the bare spots, hoping that it's going to rain. I think it rained like 8 months later. But I'm throwing the seed in all the bare spots, hoping it'll get in there and it'll stick and it'll grow. And those little patches might look as pretty as the rest of the yard. That's what we do. We throw the seed wherever we go. So we plant and then we wait. You don't plant and harvest the same day. You plant and then you wait and then you harvest. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 3, he'd say, I planted the seed, God watered it. No, Apollos planted, I watered, God caused the growth. Let me get it right in my head. It's a journey. A couple of you have come the last week or two as we've been studying on Sunday mornings. This idea of blessing those around us and saying, man, I'm trying so hard, but it doesn't seem to be working. I'm trying to tell my story, and I'm trying to invite people to learn more about Jesus, and I'm trying to help them find their way in a world that's just kind of lost. We plant, and then we wait, hoping that the seed will bear fruit. The third thing is we pray. We pray fervently. One of the things that Carrie asked you in class, and one of the things that we've been echoing over and over and over again, is if we're going to throw the seed out, then we better be covering it with prayer. And I hope you're doing that. We water the seed in prayer. And then we remain confident. Okay, so I've got a farmer in my small group. He's the smartest farmer that I've ever met. I don't know many farmers that have PhDs. Smartest farmer I've ever met, and he's been planting a long time for his life. And I says, do you ever get discouraged? I mean, when you first start planting stuff and you just got a brown, kind of barren field, do you get discouraged? And his answer was no, because I know that nothing's going to stop that from growing. That if I give it the right water and if I give it the right attention, nothing is going to stop the wheat from growing in the field. A harvest is going to come. See, I need to remain confident. You need to remain, we as the Church of Country Club Road need to remain confident that hell cannot stop the kingdom of God and that a harvest will come. But in the midst of that, we've got a job and we've got a role. The farmer, Jesus starts off the story, goes out to sow the seed. My friends, we're the farmers, and let's go out and let's sow the seed. Okay, maybe as we've been talking about these kind of ears, you have realized that you're a little cautious or you're a little crowded, and you need to work on some stuff. Maybe pull some weeds and move some rocks. One of the things this church, I think, is the best at is helping those who are aware that some rocks need to be removed and some weeds need to be pulled. And if you need our help, if you need our prayer, if you need our Bible study, whatever it is, we want to meet those needs for you. But let's also realize that the call for us when we walk out that door is not just to say we go to church here, but to live and to sow that we go to church here. So if you need us, let us know as we stand and sing. Kent?